Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of I Do, I Did, I Don't. I'm Lori Wood here with my partner in crime, Steve Fatula. Today's episode is all about domestic violence restraining orders, commonly referred to as DVROs, and possibly the link between the, what is it, the ramping up of them, the more of them during the holiday season as we approach the holidays, a stressful time.
Yeah, we are in the thick of it, kind of getting ready to see way too many Christmas movies. We're still months out at this point, but domestic violence is on our mind. Unfortunately, it's often used through this process. I think we're going to talk about the whys and whys not, but with the holidays, heightened stresses, personal feelings towards things, DV just tends to be on the uptick.
It does. And I'm glad you said we're going to kind of talk about a lot of it, because there's a lot of interesting things that have happened that, you know, people can go get a restraining order for nothing at all. And then there's significant matters where it's desperately needed and helpful. But starting out with the holidays, tensions arise. And, you know, explain to our listeners what a domestic violence order is, or a DVRO, as we're going to call it.
Yeah. So, I mean, everyone's kind of familiar with the divorce process, and that you go to court and in a couple months you'll get orders regarding things, custody, support, things like that, normal stance. Domestic violence is super quick ways to get to court and creates these quasi-criminal scenarios in which people can effectively get kicked out of their home in a, you know, one day turnaround. They can lose their kids for months at a time. They can lose access to constitutional rights. They can lose access to their guns. And for some of it's absolutely warranted, right? For some people, this thing is an absolute
necessity.
Absolutely great word.
And here's one of the things, while it happens often in divorce, you don't have to be married to get a DVRO.
Correct. So there's several types of restraining orders. There's ones that are for civil, which means just people generally, neighbors usually are the problem there. And then for anyone with any type of like intimate relationship, and I'm oversimplifying it, but
a partner, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever the case may be.
Correct. The court has a different avenue, which is the domestic violence related restraining order, and there's no fees. So that creates some enticement to file under that. It's fast. I mean, you can get major changes in life in a day or so. And it's impactful for people. I mean, I've seen people lose their jobs, lose their kids for years.
Unable to get jobs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. You are flagged. You're in the criminal system. It's
you've got to give up guns deal. If you are a gun owner sometimes. It's not a great thing. And as we said, it's used for necessity in many cases, but it's also people just do it to get back, or there's emotional aspect that they're making false allegations. And maybe we don't want to. Let's inform first, and then we can kind of talk about some of the things you've seen.
Yeah, so I think that the idea behind it is valid. I think there are situations in which people are forced to endure things they shouldn't have to do. I think it's easy to understand why there'd be a restraining order for things like physical violence.
Absolutely.
That's an easy one to understand and appreciate. And then I think, unfortunately, it becomes a bit weaker when we get to things like, you know, text messages.
Emotional abuse.
And it's such a hard thing, because I know saying it, we have represented many people on both sides of this. And there are some cases where this is absolutely a necessity and emotional abuse is real. It's harder to show. It's harder to prove.
And sometimes it's more painful than the physical abuse. Bruises heal.
I would say that in a lot of cases, it's the pain that stays.
That sticks with you.
And then there's some, though, that you look at how the courts are reading this and people are getting these life-changing orders for things that...
I'll give you an example of one that I've seen.
Yeah.
There was a judge that granted a temporary DVRO because the wife's complaint was that she was ignored, her husband was not attentive, and he promised to go skydiving with her, but never did.
That's nuts.
That was granted.
That's the stuff where society has gotten into a spot where everyone is demonized and the courts are terrified to have the situations where they don't pull the trigger and make an order.
Right.
Because you get the media stories when a big domestic violence is blocked and then physical violence or death happens. And I don't minimize that. I completely understand their role is very difficult.
Yeah, I can. I mean, but people, how do you know?
Correct. And you're going off of a couple pieces of information.
And two very different sides.
Two very different sides. And unfortunately, everything's easy to fake nowadays. Photos are really easy to have doctored up. We've seen people's photos not real.
It's a scary, scary time.
It's terrifying.
And it only hurts the victims.
I mean, a lot of it's such a hard thing because there are nonprofits that advocate for it. And then there are ones that are respectfully paid for fighting domestic violence. And then you have to be constantly looking, going, is this real? Or do you guys need to hit your quota? Because I see the case and I've seen, you know, more serious ones, which is an understatement. I get it. Like, people are gonna get pissed off that I'm not taking what, you know, this scenario is serious. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there are ones that it's why the thing should exist. And then there are ones that skirt in under technicalities that really shouldn't have the impact that they do.
100%. And there are ones that an angered ex makes allegations of abuse towards either themselves, their children, and it just ruins people's lives.
It's such a bad approach.
It's a tool for people who need it, but it's being abused by people who just want to exact revenge.
I think that is where the at least the podcast discussion comes in, going, what is our recommendation? And the answer is, I think the court needs to get ahead of it. I think legislation is looking at it, because my understanding is that right now the focus is on false allegations of sexual abuse. Often, and without stereotypes, often moms against dads. And it's such a diabolical scenario because, one, if it's true, that's different, right?
100%.
And
we want to make it very clear
that
we are not a proponent of false allegations. That's the problem that we have. But anybody being abused, if children are abused, we want you to go and use every tool that you can to become safe. That is not what this discussion is about. This discussion is being in this industry for collectively almost 50 years. We have seen important tools be abused. And that's the issue that we're speaking of today.
I think my biggest problem, because we have dealt with restraining orders that have lasted for years in temporary status, not even permanent, just because of...
Explain that a little more. Give people context.
Sure. So when you file a restraining order, the court is likely to issue, if the court issues, will issue an order. It's a temporary order, which is intended to get you to like a hearing. So in design, it's there for 15 to 21 days.
Right, because in theory, DVROs take precedence in the court and they try to get them heard as quickly as possible.
In theory, in writing, everywhere you look, it would say that. And then the practical part of this is it's not that simple.
Correct.
Things get continued a lot. You aren't even allowed to do discovery anymore without permission from the court, which is, to me, just
insane.
A huge due process violation.
And discovery, if people don't know, is a tool to gather information.
It is.
Documents, records, that kind of thing. And just in January of 2020.
This year,
2024. I can't even remember what year it is. They said that no more discovery was allowed in DV cases, domestic violence cases.
Yeah, you have to get special permission, but the answer starts off with no, because that furthers the
violation, the HIPAA, all that stuff.
Yeah, and it furthers like the pain. It's such a bad explanation as an order with way too much. Like, it personally feels like more of a political order.
I was going to say, we're leaning so far to not offend people that we're missing and taking away very important pieces to help people.
Like, we had cases that we needed discovery. We did it last year. They refused to comply. The court set a hearing date days after January 1st. And the judge is like, we don't know what to do, so we're denying your request. And I'm like, how the hell do I represent my client if I can't ask for the evidence that proves he wasn't where they're saying he's at? And they're like, well, we don't know, but the way the order's written, we don't want to hurt the victim anymore. And I'm like, but the victim's lying. And then you have to find different ways to do this, which just really means more expense.
Right.
So who's it impacting? The people that don't have the money to defend themselves.
Right. And who can't defend themselves because now their hands are tied.
Correct. And it's not criminal in that you get a free attorney. So you either do it by yourself, and often don't advocate that because it's way too emotional. And it's so bad. Like, if
the system is very broken. And the flip side.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
If you file a DVRO against a spouse, a lot of the tactics that were not a lot. some of the tactics that we've seen is he who files first, the other person cannot ask for spousal support. Yeah. So it's a spousal support blocker.
It is. It's one of the factors that the court can consider to blocking support.
Right.
So if you have, and this is, I will oversimplify and be sexist in the scenario because that's what I've seen.
Right.
I have seen a lot of women use this move, women that make more money. And usually the facts in there are pretty loose, meaning that there was yelling, not physical stuff. I put physical at like a different level.
100%. Nobody should touch anybody. And yeah, that is a very different conversation.
And I think when I'm seeing physical, then this part of me goes, now that's a much bigger deal. But when it's like people are yelling at each other, I'm like, well, what the hell's yelling mean? Like, we don't have decimeters in our house walking around and go, how loud was that? Like,
there is an app that tells you that maybe we should start strapping to all and people.
That's where I see it all going there.
And that's unfortunate. Like, but who hasn't had an argument with their partner, their spouse, their lover?
I mean, you're supposed to.
Like, right? They say that's healthy.
Exchange.
Yeah.
And the problem is when we've seen people get restraining orders because they get into an argument because one finds out the other one's cheating. Well, Jesus Christ. Like,
I don't know who's going to take that well.
And now they're being demonized for yelling about it. Not hitting, not pushing, not throwing. Like, you can't even be mad anymore, or you could lose your kid for 8 months.
Yeah.
And to me, it doesn't make sense on a lot of the things. And the judges are stuck because they have to follow the rules.
Right. It's not because they don't want to help. They've got a very difficult position. I once had an attorney friend. We were talking about DVs, and he's the one that his client, the DV was ordered against because of failure to skydive, which I find, you know, if your wife asks you to skydive, Steve, you better jump out that plane.
I think maybe in that scenario, you just let them jump first.
Don't push. You just let them jump.
And you just kind of take your plane down by yourself slowly and go, we did it together.
But he was saying that the way that the laws are currently written, you can barely burp in your partner's direction without the fear of a restraining order.
That's the part. It's my mind is so twisted anymore that I'm constantly going, my child did something. I think about it in my head and go, if I yell too much and they tell their teacher I yelled at them, I may have to go deal with CPS over yelling at my child for lying. Right. We'll pick something that kids do.
Right.
That they get disciplined to some degree. Now I'm saying go beat your kid with a belt. That's not my statement.
No, even though that's the way I was raised.
Even though I don't necessarily disagree with that. Yeah. Like, right. Like it's how I was raised. Well, and respectfully, I still remember things I shouldn't do. Like
100%. They have taken.
It's crazy.
A parent's ability to parent away. And again, we're not suggesting anybody be violated, abused, beaten, mistreated, neglected, any of that. But when you have to parent with that in the back of your head, when you have to conduct yourself with your spouse with that in the back of your head,
it's crazy.
You can't be you. You can't fully be committed to any relationship, or it's just they've created this fear.
Yeah,
that we live in. God forbid we say the wrong word and somebody gets upset. God forbid we yell a little too loud when we find out our spouse has been unfaithful.
Right.
Like God forbid we break. I mean, there would be plates. I would yell oompa, but there would be plates of flowing. You know,
it's one of those scenarios that, like, you know, and you don't look backwards in that world, but like, 20 years ago, is that restraining order material? No. But then was there probably more real domestic violence then? Probably. So now we have different types of things. And the text message one drives me nuts because, respectfully, you can block text messages pretty easily. Like, we should not force people to endure abuse, but also practically go, are there resolutions here? That
I think with that, we have a duty to mitigate.
I feel like we need to have a duty to mitigate.
Yeah. And I think, and we say that, and maybe we're being a little cavalier.
Yeah, that's
because
fair.
People have been in relationships where they've just been beaten down emotionally, or there's fear of blocking because of some kind of exchange. So I don't think anything is black and white, which leads us back to the problem. How do you know what's authentic and necessary? And how do you know what's used as a ploy to harm financially, or, you know, you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you type of scenario?
I think that is absolutely valid. I think a lot of this is emotional conversations today as well. So really, like, the constant statement, it's not every statement we're applying this standard to. It's a conversation going of what we see. These are things that we see overused, overabused. They're intended to be good. But then the ones I've seen ones that are real that get denied because there's no proof of it, which is the part that, you know,
it's frustrating. And then when they're granted,
Yeah.
Let's talk about what kind of protection it really provides, if we can go there for a minute.
Yeah. So let's be very, very clear. It is a piece of paper. And the people that don't care about pieces of paper.
Correct.
Don't care that it exists. And we have seen this year alone probably 20 violations. Now, in theory, there should be no level of violation. It should be a yes or a no. You have a court order. You're not allowed to do things. You're restrained. You then did things. That should be a big deal.
So let's talk about that for a minute. What the orders can be in a DV. So sure. You cannot, some of the orders are not harass, stalk, threaten.
Yeah, I mean, there's basic no contact orders, right?
And your children can be included, your pets, mother or father, pets, somebody, anybody else in the household who's in danger, maybe not in the household, just somebody who's been threatened or that the fear of threat is real.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it's not even a threat. It's just have their peace disturbed.
Peace disturbed. The hell does that mean?
And it's so loose for the court's interpretations, but they're terrified to make the wrong call.
And typically it's 100 yards. You have to stay 100 yards. Like if your child is at a sporting event, you guys, in essence, could either not be there or would have to be 100 yards away from each other.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like it can dictate a lot of things. And the problem is when there's violations, the police don't really care.
Depending on the violation, but you have to be kind of bruised and bloody.
There has to be some blood on the, yeah. No, it's that
they're not going to care if they text you.
No blood, no foul. They don't. And the DA doesn't want to prosecute it. And then at some point you're emboldening the abuser.
Correct. Because he's getting away with little bits at a time. So it escalates.
And it always does. And that's the stuff that we've brought up to the court. And the judge is like, well, that thing's not that big of a deal. And you're like, but
if it was your daughter, would you say that?
Right. It's so hard. It's such a hard thing. And we've had it where people are videotaping people and you're like, how's that not a big deal? Well, I don't know. He's saying he didn't do it, but you can see him doing it. Well, he doesn't have it. It's like, and I get it. They're without proof. They don't want to put any more things out there, but there are just times when you're just like, man, this isn't always the best answer.
No, the system is certainly broken. It's very imperfect. And it does good. But on the flip side, when you see a necessity or you can't prove something or get the order you need for somebody who really deserves and needs it, it's incredibly frustrating. And sometimes we can get a little bit jaded in this field because we have to. It's self-preservation.
Yeah. I mean, like, so if, I guess, to shift a little bit, if you are the victim of domestic violence and you've never called the police, you probably should.
Yes.
If you call the police, you need to follow through with it. Unfortunately, once you're flagged as a regular caller, when you need them, they will not show up.
Like the boy who cried wolf.
The boy who cried wolf. If you're going to pursue the restraining order, unfortunately, do it when you have all the facts, because I've seen lots of people jump in too soon. And the court just says, I'm sorry, you don't have anything here. And then all those claims are gone. So make sure you're capturing them.
By facts, in some place safe, write down dates, write down as much specifics of the event, as traumatic as it will be. But if you are somebody who's being abused, whether it's emotionally, physically, if your children are being abused emotionally, physically, any type of way, get the help and support you need. Follow through with it. Get to a safe place first and foremost.
Yeah, we'll probably have to add a disclaimer in the front. If you're the active victim, call 911.
Yes.
Because that's real. You need to protect yourself.
I mean, you were saying that follow through with the call, because if you have 11 911 calls to your house but never want to press charges, never do press charges, it's not that there's not an understanding, you're scared, but they're not going to see the priority or the heightened threat because it's become routine.
Yeah. And then the issue when we get the cases, right, when they come to us and we see that, that's either, if we're defending against that, what we're highlighting to the court.
Right.
This is just a strategy to get the kids. If we're trying to utilize this, we have to explain to the court why you didn't do these things. And the judge really will hold inaction against that person because it either is serious or it's not. They won't say that, but they're going to ask it. They're going to question it. Everyone's going to question it.
Right. Sometimes the court views doing nothing and allowing things to continue for an extended period of time as, you know, there's no threat, or you're just as culpable because you didn't stop it or take action. It's a difficult thing.
Correct. And I think in some scenarios, it even goes beyond that. Because if you have kids and you're subjecting them to this scenario, understand that CPS can come and take your kids because you are being neglectful. And that's one of those ones I think that terrifies people to hear. But the reality is it happens. CPS right. doesn't want kids in the middle of domestic violence.
Nor should they be. Nor should you be.
Correct. But if you're not, as a parent, going to protect them, you will lose your kids over trying to protect your spouse.
Yes.
And that's we see it. We don't see it day in, day out, but we certainly see it.
And it's a hard one to see.
And it's a hard one to see because what you're trying to do usually, most people explain, is they're trying to just keep the family unit moving forward.
Keep stability for the kids. Just, keep them in the same home, the same school, the same friends.
But at some point, it tends to escalate. At some point, somebody gets hurt. And at some point, the kids say, I've seen a lot of this.
And no kid wants to see one of their parents getting harmed. No. It will stay with them for life. Changing friends, much less difficult.
And I don't really know how the friend part would. You still have your friends, I guess.
Well, if you move schools and, you know, for kids, they can go to the grocery store and see a kid in the ice cream aisle and make a friend. I wish it was that easy, right?
Best friend.
We went trick-or-treating with my neighbors, and my grandson and my neighbor's son are now called Double D because their both names start with D, and they are the best of friends after 5 seconds of walking down the street to trick-or-treat. It is such a wonderful thing. I wish that life didn't jade adults so much, that we could just be that wondrous, open, and, you know, friendly.
Yeah.
We'd have a lot less DVs.
We would indeed. I don't know. Domestic violence is such a tough thing, but during the holidays, everyone's got to really be realistic. People are drinking more. Emotions are high. The instances of domestic violence, at least that we see, tend to go up.
Yes.
Cautious statements. If you are in a scenario that seems to be elevating or escalating, leave. Just get away. Yes. Walk away.
Find a safe place. Find a safe person.
If something happens, call the police. Be the first one that calls the police, because the responsive person, they don't tend to believe.
Right.
If there's marks, take pictures, timestamps, all that.
Yes.
And protect yourself.
And your children.
And your children.
And on the flip side, if you're finding it difficult to get through the holidays or any other time of year and you find yourself easily triggered or over emotional, don't add alcohol. If you're angry and, you know, just in a bad mood, separate yourself from others before you do something stupid that could change your life permanently.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really, really value.
Everybody needs to be mindful of themselves.
Yeah.
If you need protection, you're being harmed. You don't deserve that. Find safety, get out any way you can, go through the proper channels. They're there for you to help you. And on the flip side, don't add alcohol, drugs to an already toxic situation, and keep your hands to yourself.
Yeah. And again, if you need help, there are organizations that can help as well. So yeah. A lot of people can't afford attorneys, so they hide. There are many nonprofits that will work with you depending on your county.
And we can put links up on this. And, you know, we are here to help. If you need advice of counsel, if you need an attorney, you know, we are here to help. But we will also link you to the courthouses, because you can get self-help. You can file yourself. And there are shelters and other resources that we'd be happy to share.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's it.
Until then, we'll be back next week. Until then, be kind to yourself, be safe, and be kind to others. Take care.
Have a good day.